Welcome in to the noon hour here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Caroline is off today. She'll be back with us on Monday. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you. We'll talk some Preds during the 1 o'clock hour. An enormous win last night for them to finish off their pre-All-Star break schedule with three straight dramatic home victories. We'll talk about that in the next hour. But in the meantime, as we promised you earlier, we're going to get the lay of the land in Kansas City with our good friend Soren Petro from 810, who knows that team backwards and forwards. We want to get the scoop on what's going to happen in the AFC Championship game, but also some things brewing with the offensive coordinator position for the Titans. Are there a couple of guys on that staff that might be a good fit? We'll see. Soren, great to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us today.
It's always my pleasure. I love Nashville as a city. It's always great to visit there. And a quick shout-out to my buddy Shane Horsley, one of my friends who moved from here down to Nashville. He's a big fan of you guys and listens all the time. Finest beer league softball center fielder known to man.
Wow. Is he a free agent? I'm sure there's some people listening going, hey, we need a center fielder.
You got to look it up. Now he glides around like Andrew Jones in center field and does it while running with a 20-ounce beer.
That's what any team.
That's cool.
Any team is looking for a guy like that. That's who
that's
you
right,
want on
that's
your
right.
team. Well, Soren, first of all, I know it's probably a 24-hour round-the-clock question here, but you know your level of optimism that Patrick Mahomes will be able to function okay with the high ankle sprain. We watched the whole season here with Ryan Tannehill trying to deal with something very similar.
Yeah, and it is what everyone's talking about. You know, I was at the press conferences yesterday and the day before, and Todd Lebo, who works with me and covers the team, is literally sitting there holding his phone ready to record when the door opens up and Patrick Mahomes walks in, right? We have to get every step on video, and I thought it was interesting. Mahomes comes in, turns, and made a point to skip a step going up onto the little platform that has the podium there inside the stadium. So he was clearly, he knows he's on display, and he's trying to give every indication that he's fine. When they shoot the video you're seeing, it's just at the very beginning of practice where they stretch and warm up and then a couple of warm-up drills. That's all they let you shoot, and none of it does he ever have to change direction. He looks pretty good. Both ankles are taped up. But the real question is going to be, can he move laterally when he's in the pocket and he gets pressure? And we're not going to know that till Sunday. My expectation is, no, he won't be able to. And so we're going to see a very limited Patrick Mahomes, one that's going to have to live from the pocket, which he's very good at, but it means, you know, Andy Reid might have to keep some people home to help protect because he's not going to be able to just run away from them the way he normally does.
It's funny. I mean, that is a exact same thing that we were saying all week about Tannehill. They did show him with some video where he was throwing passes. He looked like he wasn't limping. He was walking to the podium, and then he missed the next two games. I mean, missed them entirely, of course, including the one at Arrowhead Stadium that you remember very well, Sunday night game, which was a great game. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I will say this. If this were week six and the Chiefs were 5-1 or 4-2, I don't think there's any way he'd be playing this weekend.
Yeah, that's a fair point, I think. You got to try in a game of this caliber. So what about that injury aside, the matchup with Cincinnati? It's well told. Cincinnati has been able to find ways to beat Kansas City, one of the few teams that's had that kind of success against this team. What about the matchup?
You know, I think it's clear. The first thing, like, to solving a problem is admitting you have a problem. And I think even going into that third game, there was no admission that there's a problem. Now, let's be clear. They haven't lost 40-10, 37-6. I mean, all three games have been field goal games. The Chiefs have led in all of them, really led after three quarters in all of them. So there's a lot of reason to believe that, you know, maybe it's just bad luck. Maybe it's just timing. You know, the music stopped at the wrong time when the Chiefs weren't in front of a chair. This time it'll stop at a different time, and they'll be fine. But I think you'd be fooling yourself if you didn't really examine what's gone wrong. And I think the Chiefs will. Andy Reid's a great football coach, and they'll turn over every stone to be better. And I think that the key is a couple of things. One, the Bengals aren't intimidated. They're a team that follows their quarterback, his lead, with a lot of swagger, and they come in confident, ready to play. They're not beat when they run out on the field. They don't melt when they see Patrick Mahomes run out there. And so I think that's one of the things. I give great credit to Zach Taylor for creating a new culture in Cincinnati, and Joe Burrow, I think, is a big part of that as well. So I think that's the first thing. Defensively, they flood the backfield with plenty of DBs, plenty of coverage. You know, they rush four or three. They almost never blitz. Three with a spy and make sure that Patrick Mahomes can't beat them with his legs. They do that as effectively as anyone. And I think there was a bit of a wake-up call even coming down the stretch run for the Chiefs. And I think they've, you know, they tweaked the offense when they lost Tyreek Hill. They knew how teams were playing them. They've been playing them this way for really a couple of years, but they didn't fully embrace all the things, and maybe Mahomes didn't fully embrace all the things he needs to do to be effective. And when you see Jerick McKinnon get 8 touchdown catches, 9 for the season, and tie the NFL record for touchdown catches by a running back, but 8 in the last 6 games, it just shows how they embraced checking it down, using the running backs. And so I think they are better equipped offensively to handle their defense, but I expect more of the same, maybe with a few blitzes because Mahomes should be more of a stationary target. But for the most part, they drop as many people as they can and try to frustrate Patrick Mahomes.
Now, Seren, with that being said, and obviously the injury plays a big factor, do you think they are preparing potentially to have Chad Henning come in a game? He came in sparingly last game, did a pretty good job. But, you know, knowing that they can win with a Chad Henning, do you think that they, throughout practice, are putting in packages just in case?
Yeah, I mean, and listen, Henny's not as mobile as Mahomes, so maybe the packages are the same now, right? Because Mahomes is more Henny-esque, so whatever Andy Reid's dialing up, which should be effective for either one of the quarterbacks. You know, Henny came in and led a 98-yard drive. It's the longest postseason drive in Kansas City Chiefs history. I mean, it was a big moment for that team. You know, you're wondering where your star's going, your leader's going. And here comes the backup, and he calms everything down. And you know, the drive took so long, Mahomes had time to go in, get x-rayed, come out, and then cheer the last, like, 30 or 40 yards of the drive and celebrate at the end. And so, you know, he did that 2 years ago when Mahomes went down with a concussion against the Browns in the divisional round and steadied the ship, completed a big fourth and one to Tyreek Hill to seal the deal and close it out and get to the victory formation. So he's made those type of plays before. I think there's a lot of confidence in him doing that. Could you win a game with him if he has to play early, if Mahomes would get hurt? I think he can. You know, they got, you know, he got hurt actually in 2019, their Super Bowl championship season along the way, and wasn't available when Mahomes dislocated his kneecap. So Matt Moore, the third quarterback, came in, almost beat the Packers, a very good Packer team, and then did beat a playoff-bound Minnesota Viking team that year. So Andy Reid's pretty good with the backup. I wouldn't want to see him have to do it for 2 games, like win this one and then play again in the Super Bowl with Chad Henne. I don't think there's a Jeff Hostetler story waiting to be written around Chad Henne. But if they need a drive, a series, a half, or maybe even a game, there is a path to victory still with Chad Henne on the field.
Now, how big was the acquisition of Juju Smith-Schuster? Because you lose Tyreek Hill. And I'm not saying he's anything close to Tyreek Hill, even though Juju had his years where he was highly productive. Mecole Hardman is in and out of the lineup. But the one guy that has been consistent, not only Kelsey, but Juju, how big of an acquisition was that for the Kansas City Chiefs?
You know, I'd stop just short of saying critical, just because, you know, he's been down this year and they've played well and won. But it was really important. I mean, they need the guy to kind of be the opposite to Travis Kelce, to be the intermediate guy like Travis Kelce is. And that's Andy Reid talked about that 4 or 5 weeks ago, about how important he's been for them to really kind of be able to spread the field and have somebody for everywhere. He's a bigger wide receiver. He's physical after the catch. You know, he runs through arm tackles. And that's something they obviously have to do. Teams are playing them to take away over the top. They still had, when he was healthy, Mecole Hardman, a guy who was almost as fast as Tyreek Hill. They signed Marquez Valdes-Scantling as well, who was the only guy who actually clocked a faster speed on the field than Tyreek Hill last year. So they still had guys that could take the top off, but it was clear that they had to get better at the intermediate stuff. They had to get better at the short stuff, which means catch and run. And Juju does that very well. So he's been a very important part of the equation. You know, when they went to replace Tyreek Hill, they knew they weren't going to find one guy to do it. Juju was part of that equation. Valdes-Scantling was part of that equation. They worked on trading for Kadarius Toney in the offseason. Didn't get it done, but at the trade deadline brought him in as well. All those pieces were pieces that they thought that they could diversify and make up for everything Tyreek Hill took with him. Not exactly the way he does it, but make up that production and do it. And that may sound after the fact, but, you know, Patrick Mahomes said, I think the last week of training camp, you know, he was asked about, you know, if somebody brought fantasy football or something. He said, I'm afraid you fantasy football guys are going to be disappointed because it ain't going to be one guy. We're going to spread the ball all around. One week it's going to be this guy. One week it's going to be this guy. One week it's going to be that guy. Well, Juju was definitely president of the club. He was the best one of the bunch to have. But all the guys have had big days. And credit Patrick Mahomes for being able to spread the ball around.
Now, another guy that I've come to enjoy watch playing is Isaiah Pacheco. He's a physical, tough runner. He almost reminds you when he gets the ball because of the number 10. He looks like Tyreek Hill just a tad bit because he runs so physical when he gets the ball in his hands. Do you see them leaning on – can Andy Reid lean on him knowing that Patrick Mahomes is hobbled?
Yeah, and he's a great story because his senior year at Rutgers, he averaged like 3.5 yards a carry. That's why he lasted to the seventh round, even though he runs a 4.35 40, right? You see that speed and that burst, and then he runs physical as well, and he's given a physical side to the Chiefs that was really lacking. They've got some physical offensive linemen. Creed Humphrey at center, Trey Smith at right guard are very physical players, and he delivers a punch, and he gets guys fired up by running through some arm tackles and being physical. And really early on, he had almost no vision. It was like run till you hit something was almost his style. He's gotten better at being more patient. Credit Eric Bieniemy on really working with him on that. And he is something that's really important. And they need that physical style. And yes, you know, he got 12 carries for 95 yards. I would expect a few more carries. If that doesn't play out, the problem is he's not as good catching the ball. He's not very good at all at blocking. And they've got a guy in Jerick McKinnon who's the old man of the running back locker room, but is, I think, the best blocking running back in the NFL. You know, he handles twists and splits and hands off, linebackers to the guard and picks up the defensive end and stands in there, delivers a punch on linebackers when they come on the blitz. And I think that might be an important part of the equation. Andy, for the first time, has really kind of gone to, hey, Jerick, you're the third down back. Isaiah, you're first and second. Usually he likes a guy to just be in there and be the guy and do everything. He's done a great job of maximizing both their strengths. So I think there'll be a piece of the game plan for both those guys. But to your point about Pacheco, yes, if he's held in check for less than 20 yards, it's going to be a long day for the Chiefs.
We're talking to Soren Petro from 810 over in Kansas City. You brought up Eric Bieniemy. Soren, it's probably the last thing on most Chiefs' minds right now. But here, the last week, heard was Tennessee had asked for permission to talk to both Matt Nagy and Eric Bieniemy for the opening here for offensive coordinator. What were your thoughts when you saw that, and is there any indication that they're going to grant permission, or do we just have to wait and see how this plays out on the field first?
You know, I think they will grant permission. I think Andy Reid, does a good job of, he's got a great coaching tree. Obviously, they didn't sneak out of town. They get their interviews, and I think, reality has set in that Eric Bieniemy is not going to be hired as a head coach. And that's disappointing because his resume certainly says he should be a head coach. But it's disappointing because I like the guy. It's disappointing because I think he's a good football coach and a good guy. But I think there are some things that are lacking in his game as a coach, right? He was terrible at the podium when he first got the offensive coordinator's job. He's gotten better. He's gotten more polished. He's still not the best. So if he does a poor job against what is a small, and let's be honest, pretty peaceful Kansas City media, do you think he's going to be dynamic when he's interviewing in front of a billionaire owner? I don't think so. Tony Dungy had that knock that he didn't interview well. I've heard that about Eric Bieniemy. There's also the fact that I know Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson overcame these things to get head coaching jobs, but it is still a knock that he doesn't really call the plays. Andy Reid does. And I think that's things that those guys overcame, but probably overcame by being better interviewers. And I think there's just a little, and there's some background and history that, some off the field things from his days at Colorado that I think surface and have some, a reason to pause for concern. You're like, well, if we have this, and I'm not really blown away by the interview, and he hasn't called plays, you could see where he would keep finishing second or third. Now, he was offered by people I was told the Saints offensive coordinator job last year after he lost out for the head coaching job, and he didn't take it. But I've said before, look, Marvin Lewis was incredible as the defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. But people forget his last job before becoming the head coach of the Bengals was defensive coordinator for the football team in Washington. He left and 1 year turned around Washington, proved that it wasn't just a great coaching staff and everything going on at Baltimore. And that's what got him the Bengal job. And I've been screaming for Eric Bieniemy to do that. If they're not giving you the head coaching job, go kick down some of those doors that they say you can't do and prove it someplace else. And I think if he's going to interview that way for that coordinator job, it proves that he's open to that and is willing to maybe take a different path to becoming a head coach, because the shadow of Andy Reid is certainly not working for him right now.
Any sense, if you had to guess, who would be the more likely offensive coordinator candidate, Nagy or Bieniemy for the Titans? Who would it be in your mind?
I would say it would be, if it comes down to it's just a two-horse race, I would say it's Eric Bieniemy, because I don't think Matt Nagy's going to leave. Matt Nagy's college teammate at Delaware was Brett Veach, the general manager. Andy Reid is 61, 62 years old. I think he's going to coach as long as he can physically do it. But Matt Nagy went to Chicago, came back. He liked Kansas City. He likes Kansas City again. He's got a young family. I don't know that he wants to be the stop, you know, go from town to town, which is part of the deal as a coach. But if you can wait your turn, have success, and you get the offensive coordinator job in Kansas City, and your college teammate is the general manager, you look like the coach in waiting for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think for the reasons I said about Eric Bieniemy, I think the best thing for Eric Bieniemy's career, if he wants to be a head coach, is to take the job. So I think Nagy will be harder to pull away, even though he's only the quarterback coach here in Kansas City. And Eric Bieniemy should be wanting to improve that resume and polish it off. So from a standpoint of who would be more likely to take the job, I think it's very much Eric Bieniemy. But, you know, I'm not on the inner workings. That's just my read. I mean, I know some people. I have conversations. Connecting all the dots that I've been given, that's the way I would think that this shapes up. Now, if they don't want Eric Bieniemy and they come with an over-the-top offer and Mike Vrabel says the entire offense is yours, that might be a job that, you know, that might be an offer that's, you know, one that he can't, Matt Nagy can't, you know, turn down. But, you know, all things being equal, I would lean towards Eric Bieniemy. But, again, certainly not on the inside down in Nashville.
Soren, excellent insight as always. Enjoy another big playoff game at Arrowhead. We can't wait to watch on Sunday.
We're looking forward to it as well. Thanks for having me, guys. Make sure you get Shane on your softball team.
Oh, yes. There's a lot of softball coaches taking note for sure. Soren Petro from KC, 810 AM, excellent sports talk show host over there. We've had him on so many times. Stay tuned. When we come back, we will sort of process this. And then remember, Ask D-Mace is coming up at 1230. So get your texts and calls ready for him. Stay tuned. We're coming back.